From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the city's LGBTQ community is mourning the death of trans woman and advocate Jahaira D'Alto, who was fatally stabbed in Dorchester last weekend along with another woman. D'Alto's death is the latest in a growing list of trans or gender nonconforming people known to have been killed around the country this year, according to the nonprofit Human Rights Campaign. For her friends and family, D'Alto's death has left them shocked and confused. WBUR's Cristela Guerra has been reporting on this and joins us now. Hey, Cristela, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Paris.
Tell us more about Jahaira D'Alto and the impact she had in her community.
She was just beloved. She was absolutely beloved. Every person you speak to, every comment online, just talked about how she gave of herself. She was a mother in the ballroom scene to queer kids who found themselves with no place to go after coming out of the closet. So she was a haven for them. This is her daughter, Athena Vaughn, a co-founder of Trans Resistance.
For her and the people she touched, it's just what that is. Mother, the essence of giving hope, the essence of guiding, the essence of uplifting, and just having someone to show you the unconditional love that your biological family was no longer giving because they were not supporting your lifestyle. And that's just what she did.
So D'Alto was an advocate, you know, for the trans community in Boston and the Berkshires. She also helped to launch the first Transgender Day of Remembrance very long ago and Berkshire Pride Festival.
She certainly sounds amazing. And what all do we know about what happened to her?
The police say she was stabbed to death by someone that was staying with her, a family she had taken in.
Oh, that is awful. And as we mentioned, there was another woman, 27-year-old Fatima Yassin, who was also killed that night. How do their stories tie together?
So authorities charged 34-year-old Marcus Chavis, who was staying in D'Alto's home. Fatima was his wife. They haven't disclosed a motive, but he told them he was taking medication for a mental health diagnosis.
So how will Jahaira be remembered, Cristela?
So her community wants to see her off in grand and beautiful ways, a ball, a celebration. Her best friend, Nolan Tess, has told me he wants to see her life continue to empower the lives of trans women.
What do we do now? What do we do that we haven't done before? What do we sacrifice that we haven't sacrificed before? What's the new? What's next? And I think that she would want this moment to be a catalyst for change.
You know, Paris, it's really strange. I met Jahaira last year at the Museum of Science. It was the back to school ball, and they were trying to hold it in the midst of this pandemic. And she had such a presence about her. It was obvious that her community just adored her. And she talked to me about how she wants to see more trans leaders step up and push for change.
I want to see more of us. I want to see those who have receded into the shadows by virtue of things like passing privilege and a desire to just get by, understand that standing in the sun is the only way that we're going to see quantifiable change.
That was the voice of Jahaira D'Alto, and WBUR arts and culture reporter Cristela Guerra has been reporting on her death. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. With the weather warming up and more people getting out, there's a lot more noise on our streets. But not everybody is happy about it. At a public hearing last night, Boston residents complained of late-night noise disturbances and use of off-road vehicles like dirt bikes and ATVs in Franklin Park, which have been on the rise as the state moves to open back up. But if you think they're sick of late-night noise, just talk to the animals at Franklin Park Zoo. John Lenahan, head of Zoo New England, says the late-night clamor is impacting the animals in their nocturnal lives.
We have struggled with all the noise and, in particular, been greatly concerned for our animals. And we've taken some mitigating efforts when we can, but it's really not very effective.
Some residents have called for more enforcement against off-road vehicles on public roads, but others have raised concerns that doing so could disproportionately target young Black and brown riders. Meantime, Governor Charlie Baker says he's holding off on making plans to vaccinate children younger than 16. He says the issue came up in a recent conference call between federal officials and the nation's governors.
And the feds were very clear to us that until decisions are made by the review board. They won't be delivering any kind of information to us around distribution protocols or that type of thing. They're not going to get ahead of the review process, in other words.
Baker says nearly 500,000 kids between the ages of 12 and 16 could become eligible for the vaccine if the feds give the go-ahead. And speaking of vaccines, here's some more evidence that they're working. According to state data, the average COVID caseload in Massachusetts is now a third of what it was a month ago. And the seven-day average of COVID-related deaths has fallen to the single digits. Coronavirus deaths haven't been that low since over a year ago, at the start of the pandemic. Here's Dr. Andrew Lover, an epidemiologist at UMass Amherst.
It's remarkable progress in a very short amount of time. And that really speaks to the impact and power of vaccines.
And this progress is inspiring some communities to roll back their own restrictions, like our friends in Brookline, who held on to that outdoor mask mandate even after the CDC said it was okay to stop covering your face outdoors, and Governor Baker ended the state's mandate as well. Brookline finally decided to lift it at a town meeting yesterday, and that will go into effect May 21st. But I don't blame them for the delay, because it's still so important to wear your mask indoors or even when you're outside but can't socially distance. Though I must say, it is nice to see smiling faces out in public again. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since public safety and social health, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. It's been such a hard year, y'all, but the universe has good news for the lost, lonely, and heartsick. Dear Sugars is hosted by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Allman, who field all your questions, no matter how deep or dark, and offer radical empathy in return. Check out Dear Sugars wherever you get your podcasts.